This Bible talk, titled A Relentless Prophet, is on Jonah chapter 4. It's the final sermon in our series in the book of Jonah, and it was recorded at Rabina on Sunday, the 20th of December, 2020.
We want mercy for our own mistakes, but we insist on justice for others. Mercy for me, judgment for you. When the yellow Ford Falcon cut me off, I can tell you I was not happy. But when he raced me off at the next set of traffic lights, I was furious. I thought to myself, if there is any justice in this world, the cops will be at the top of the next hill. But the police weren't there. They're never there, are they? Unless, of course, it's you who's speeding, they always seem to find you then. That's not fair. And that guy at work who does nothing, who's forever slacking off and not doing his share of the work, you've been carrying his workload on your own now for months. Still, the boss never notices, does he? You work harder, he gets paid more. They get all the rewards and all the recognition. You get to go home exhausted. That's not fair. Others are always getting new and exciting stuff. But you always seem to be missing out, doing exciting things, going to exciting places, but not you. Same old, same old. That's not fair, you say to yourself. There's no justice in this world. Ask your children when you say no to them, they'll tell you that things aren't fair. And if they don't, then their siblings certainly will. That's not fair. Ask Gold Coast Titans or Suns supporters, they'll tell you exactly the same thing. The officials are blind. That's not fair. There's no justice in this world. When we're outraged by unfairness, it makes our blood boil, doesn't it? We tell everyone about it on social media if we have an account, and anyone who looks vaguely in our direction how we've been wronged, especially Australians. Our national identity is built on fairness. Advance Australia, fair. A fair go. But it's not fair for everyone here, is it? It's not all equal and not everyone gets a fair go. How about these inconsistent and arbitrary COVID restrictions? There's no such thing as fairness for everyone. Someone always misses out. That's my point. But in a society with an overflated sense of justice, in a culture demanding equality and fairness, you don't seem to have too much of it. We're always insisting on it being fair. And when we don't have justice, we console ourselves with cliches of retribution. He'll get his, you wait and see. You'll get your just deserts. Your turn will come, buddy. They won't get away with it forever. What goes around comes around. Like a protesting minority group, like a campaigning, agitating activist, Jonah believes that he is the innocent victim of a crime. God has served up to him a great injustice. Jonah's blood is boiling. Jonah feels deeply aggrieved. All this time, not in denial. Jonah's been in the Mediterranean. Jonah's been on the run from God. He's been heading the opposite way. He's been going the wrong direction. With every step Jonah takes, he moves further from God and closer to death. Jonah couldn't stomach God's idea of justice, so God could no longer stomach Jonah. But now Jonah's been to Nineveh, and if there's any justice in this world, Jonah says to himself, the people of Nineveh are about to cop it. Hanging is too good for them. Finally, Jonah cries out against their evil. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. They're bad eggs, those Ninevites, aren't they? We saw that last week. Nineveh is a city built on a reputation for its brutality, a city that is built on violence, God-defying self-glorification. Nineveh not only frightened their neighbours, but they remained a constant threat towards them. Jonah waits for justice to be served up against them. Jonah wants blood. But that's not what Jonah gets, is it? And it's not what Nineveh got either. Look there with me, chapter 3, verse 10. Let's see it again. When God saw what they did, that's the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil way, God relented on the disaster that he had said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Nineveh repented, and so God relented. He repented. God did not bring disaster upon them. They didn't even get a slap on the wrist, the Ninevites. But you can hear the outcry from the courtroom, can't you? Demanding shouts of an immediate retrial, the judge trying to bring some order back into the court. Imagine the TV interview on the steps of the courthouse, Jonah promising to appeal this decision, only to have the journalist point out to him, there's no higher court than this one. The evil of the people of Nineveh provoked God to threaten evil upon their city. That's how bad it was. But Nineveh repented of its evil, and so God graciously relented from his judgment. God relents from sending evil, judgment on Nineveh that they so richly deserved for the evil they'd committed. But friends, to Jonah, this was a very great evil. It's a perversion of the course of justice. Nineveh relented, God relented, but Jonah is unrelenting. He is fuming. Look there, chapter 4, verse 1. But it pleased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Friends, Jonah isn't exceedingly displeased. What it actually says here is that this was a great evil to him. Jonah is angry because God relented. God relents from sending evil upon evil Nineveh. But Jonah's displeasure isn't really about legal justices. It's more a sense of his own personal injustice. It's about Jonah's understanding of what's right and wrong. The goodness of God is being called evil by Jonah. Jonah is calling evil what God calls good. You know, it's a warped perception of reality that claims that God is wrong. But Jonah's anger only highlights the evil of his own heart. And Jonah is angry because God is gracious. Look there, verse 2. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He is that angry. Jonah is that angry. It's everyone else's fault here but Jonah's. Did you notice? He's just like Adam in the Garden of Eden. He blames God for his own choices. He grasps at knowledge and power for himself. He makes himself like God. He thinks he should be the ruler and judge of everything. Jonah determines good from evil for himself, and he thinks that God is not good but evil. In a matter of life and death, God now calls Jonah to account for his anger. Do you do well to be angry? Sounds like, what is this you have done, doesn't it? Jonah chooses death rather than to live God's way, and so he begins to move east from Nineveh, away from the presence of God, again. With every step that Jonah takes, he moves further from God and closer to death. Expelled from the garden, Adam moved east from Eden. Under the judgment of God, Cain moved east from Eden in an attempt to stop the spread further east. The nations built the Tower of Babel. Lot is separated from Abram. He moves east towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Jonah is angry with God, and so he moves east to the city of Nineveh. Angry because God is gracious and compassionate. Maybe you missed it. Angry because God is gracious and compassionate. But let's just think about that for a minute. Let's all just take a great big deep breath, shall we? Slowly, I want you to count to 10. Jonah is angry because God is gracious. Does that make sense to you? God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. God who revealed himself to Israel in the Exodus. The same God now makes Jonah angry. God consistently being God, revealing himself to Israel's enemies, makes Jonah angry. Jonah wants God to be gracious to him. Jonah wants God to be compassionate towards him. Jonah wants God to be slow to anger with him. Jonah wants God to be abounding in love towards him, but not towards other people. Especially not Israel's enemies. Particularly not those wicked Ninevites. The bitter root of resentment lives deep within Jonah's heart. But God provides him with some relief. Let's see it, verse 5. Jonah went out from the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under its shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Jonah heads east of the city. He's still heading the wrong way, isn't he? With every step that Jonah takes, he moves further from God and closer to death. But it's a movement of a disobedient protest. Jonah moves away from the presence of the Lord. Maybe he's waiting to see what God will do next. Maybe he's trying to convince God to change his mind. And there on the outskirts of the city of Nineveh's city limits, Jonah builds himself a shelter. Jonah's looking for shade, a place to ease from the heat of his own discomfort, a shade sail, somewhere for him to cool down and cool off. But even with this relief under construction, Jonah should be reminded of the mercy of God here. How God had been merciful to him. How God had shown his mercy to the people of Israel. You see, the Hebrew word for booth in Jonah was designed to remind Israel of the mercy of God. Israel were commanded to remember God's mercy towards them. Leviticus 23 verse 41 says this. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. When God brought them out of the land of Egypt, God made his people, Israel, live in booths. The booth is a reminder of the mercy of God. The booth is a reminder of God's mercy and compassion and grace towards Israel who were in slavery in Egypt. But Jonah isn't just hot under the collar. Jonah is hot under the collar. The scorching desert sun now beating down on his bald and bleached and blistering head. And so the Lord appoints a plant to provide shade for him now. The God who appointed the wind and the God who appointed the storm and the God who appointed the fish is now the God who appoints a plant. But I want you to notice Jonah's emotional response. How Jonah feels when God is merciful towards him. Can you see it? The plant provided relief to Jonah. Jonah's very happy. He's very happy about the plant. He's flipped from one extreme to the other, hasn't he? He's gone from the entire length of the emotional spectrum, from being very angry to now being very happy. Angry because of God's mercy to Nineveh. Happy because of God's mercy towards him. Jonah likes relief from his discomfort. Jonah loves receiving the mercy of God. But what happens, friends, when God isn't merciful to Jonah? How does Jonah respond then? Well, let's see it, verse 7. When the dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." God now appoints a worm, and the happy plant withers and dies. And suddenly there's no more shade, and the scorching sun burns against Jonah again. And the east wind picks up against him. And now Jonah wants to die again. Jonah finds no relief from his own suffering. God removes mercy from Jonah. And when he does, Jonah's emotions swing back the other way. From suicide to euphoria and back overnight. How exhausting. This guy is off the spectrum. So many ups and downs with this guy. I mean, these days you'd just write him a script, wouldn't you? But Jonah isn't depressed. Jonah is depressing. Because the root of the problem isn't the plant, but it lies deep within Jonah's worm-infested heart. This isn't a mental health issue. This is hard-hearted, self-entitled, proud, and rebellious sin. Jonah is more concerned for his own comfort than for God's compassion more concerned about the plant than the people of Nineveh, more concerned for himself than for others. Jonah wants mercy for his own mistakes, but he insists on justice for Nineveh. Mercy for Jonah, but judgment for others. And even though salvation might belong to the Lord, Jonah tells the God who delivers people from death that he would rather die than live in a world where others receive mercy instead of justice. See, Jonah is no better than the people of Nineveh. The same hard-hearted and disregard for life resides in all of them. Jonah wants mercy for himself, but he doesn't want mercy for anyone else. It might have been a worm that killed that plant, but let me tell you, friends, Jonah is a grub. But God is concerned for the wicked people of Nineveh. God even has mercy upon them. See that with me, verse 10. The Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Jonah has pity only for himself. It's a private pity party for one. But God looks towards us with compassion. He meets our wickedness, friends, with his mercy. He looks upon our brokenness with his grace. Israel was not to turn to the right or the left when they entered the land, but Nineveh don't even know their right from their left. God offers mercy and compassion to everyone. His promise of blessing is to Israel that all the nations might be blessed. But Israel, they've become stubborn and rebellious. They become self-absorbed and a little bit too comfortable. Given mercy so that they might be merciful. Shown compassion so that they might show compassion. God's concerned himself with Israel, but Israel was only ever concerned with themselves. The evil of Nineveh dwells in the hearts of Israel. Mercy and compassion for me, but judgment and condemnation for everyone else. You know, there's lots of similarities between Jonah and the prodigal son. But in Luke 15, verse 28, Jonah is the older brother. You see, he's happy to receive God's blessings for himself, but unwilling to receive others having the same mercy. You know the story, don't you? You remember it. The wayward son returns for a feast of forgiveness. The father and son now inside celebrating restoration, while the older brother stays outside, reigning on the father's parade of pardon. Let's pick up the parable, though. Verse 28, but he was angry, that's the older brother, he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came and devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." The older brother, he sounds like Jonah, doesn't he? He sounds a lot like Jonah, a lot like Israel. Dare I say it, friends, a lot like us. Always here doing what God wants, but unable to remember God's compassion towards us. Forgetting God's mercy on our past failures, but insisting that God bring about justice against others. Wanting God's mercy only for ourselves, but demanding his condemnation upon everyone else. God offers mercy, compassion, and concern, which makes us very happy and very comfortable. But when someone else wrongs us, when someone else does an injustice towards us, well, we get all blistered and hot under the collar. We sulk and we pout and we jump up and down and we demand justice. You'll get yours. Your turn will come, pal. We say to our frustrated and flustered selves in order to calm ourselves down. But it's only when we see ourselves as objects of God's mercy will we be able to see others the way that God does. Only when we see ourselves in need of mercy will we be able to show mercy to others. God sees them the same way that he sees us. And so my question to you this morning, friends, is who's someone that you need to start looking at differently? But you know, God's concern isn't just for Nineveh, is it? It's for our great city too. A city built on violence and God-defying self-glorification. A wicked city that rightly deserves the judgment and condemnation of God. But God offers us mercy for our sins. And he offers us mercy so that we might offer his mercy to the people of the Gold Coast. And yet, we're still more concerned with our own comfort than we are with offering our neighbours God's mercy. But let's all just take a deep breath for a minute. Slowly count to 10. We're more concerned with our own comfort than we are with showing the mercy of God to our neighbours. Does that seem right to you? I want to finish with a poem this morning. I don't normally do this, by Thomas Carlyle. It's called You, Jonah. The generosity of God displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he slashed with angry prayer at the graciousness of the Almighty. I told you so, he screamed. I knew you would do it, you dirty forgiver. You bless your enemies and show kindness to those who despitefully use you. I would rather die than live in a world with a God like you, and don't try and forgive me either. And Jonah stalked to his shaded seat and waited for God to come around to his way of thinking. And God is still waiting for a host of Jonahs to come around to his way of loving.